got up, every time he got down, he went before him, he was all around him. He said even while he was a substance, before he was made, while he was yet a substance, his members were already written in the book. God knows all things. Isaiah 45, Cyrus that was going to free Israel and be part of the instrument of God freeing Israel from Babylon, God told him and called him by name 200 years before he was ever born, told how he was going to do it. And you know how he did it? Exactly the way God said he was going to do it. You know why? As David said, thy knowledge is too wonderful for me. God knows all things. Some people think, some way, mysteriously, they're going to slip through the cracks with God and not going to be accountable to God, but that's not going to happen. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Those who may be joining in with us online, it's good to have you with us tonight. We want to preach upon this thought: the danger of being a failure. Who wants to be a failure? I don't either. I don't think anybody in their heart of hearts wants to be a failure. The Army used to have a slogan, be all you can be. And you know, so many times people doesn't reach the potential that they have. But you know, there's two things that we need to understand about this life. One is, you don't want to leave this life without first and foremost being saved. What follows you, by the way, when you die? What follows you? It's appointed man once to die, and after this judgment, your works follows you. Your works, you will be judged according to your works. Saved, whether good or bad. Wicked, lost, still rather good or evil. Your works will be judged. And the books will be open, as Brother Sisson was talking about this morning. So, first of all, you want to make sure you're saved. Second of all, regardless of what you accomplish in this life, what's near and dear to you, the only thing that you will take with you is your works. There will be some that will be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. They'll be saved, but their works will be burned. But they will be saved, yet so by fire. But the Bible says they will suffer loss. And heaven is a long time, eternity is a long time, to have to deal with the fact that you had the opportunity of doing something after you got saved, and you dropped the ball. I think the greatest privilege and time that we will have in heaven is at the judgment seat of Christ, when crowns are given out and rewards and whatever they may be, if they're anything other than crowns. And then we have the ability to take our crowns, as his 24 elders did, and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And he becomes King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he wears all the crowns because he receives all honor and glory and praise for all that's done. But I don't think that there will be a greater honor in our lifetime than to be able to give something back to Jesus for what he's gave to you. So this evening I want to look, and I want you to stay with me just a few moments, and I want you to follow with me, and I want to break a couple things down. 2 Peter chapter 1, I would encourage all to try to bring Bibles and follow with me. You know, having your own personal Bible is so important. There's times when you ought to write notes and so forth. I don't mean deface the Bible by any means. And maybe if you don't feel comfortable in writing notes in your Bible, at least write notes and have in your Bible about certain things. Because the Word of God is very important. It is exactly that. It is a word that God has left for us, and it brings us to the saving of our soul, and it also enables us to be able to overcome many things in this life. Look, if you would, in verse number 1, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given, now notice this word given, unto us. Now this is saved people. His divine power has given to us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given, again, that word given, unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now let me stop right here a moment before we read the rest of this, and let me say a couple things. Everyone who is saved, you have certain things that Peter points out. Look back in verse 1. You have a precious faith. If you have never had faith in Christ Jesus, you cannot be saved without faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you're saved, you have precious faith. Not only that, but he also in verse 1 says that we have a standing with God of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior. You have been made righteous because God has imputed the righteousness of Jesus unto you. And so therefore, when God looks upon you, he doesn't see your filthy rags that you once bore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus that has been divinely transferred to you, imputed, as Romans chapter 3 and 4 talks about. Not only that, but also in verse 2, we all have grace. Grace is the fact that God has given us these things, undeserving as we are, that we all deserve something much worse, and God, through his grace and mercy, has extended these gifts to us. Not only that, we have the peace of God and the peace in God. And therefore, what we do is we have a trust of God that brings a peace that passes all understanding. And so therefore, each of us who are saved, we ought to have a peace within our souls. Also in verse number 3, he talks about power of God. We have been given a power through the Holy Ghost of God with a power to overcome what? All things. We are able to overcome whatever things come our way. Not only that, look in verse 4. Through the promises, the great and exceeding promises that we have of God, our lives have been changed. We receive a divine nature, the nature of God. And by the way, the word partakers of divine nature means to be partners with God, with a divine nature. And not only that, but we also, through the promises of God, have been able to escape the lust of this old world and the corruption of this old world. So anyone who is saved, now listen to me, anyone who is saved, your life has been changed. You can't show me an example in the Bible where someone got saved. I'm not talking about someone that got saved and may have lost fellowship with God. Demas is a good example of that. He lost his fellowship with God, went back into the world. That's possible, but he didn't lose his salvation. But what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about that you cannot show me an example in the Bible when someone got saved that God didn't change their life. That comes with the territory. You're made a new creature by the new birth of the Holy Ghost of God. And you, the Holy Ghost of God, then he lives within you. He dwells in you. And he seals you until the day of redemption. Not only that, but also we have an eternal home in heaven that we share. Now, talking about all that, let's say this. Grace, or salvation, is by grace, and we're all saved the same way. By grace through faith. No one, nowhere, is saved any different. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter number 15. In Acts chapter number 15, in verse number 11, keep your finger there in Peter, and notice this. It says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And in Romans, it tells us that there is no difference between the Greek and the Jew. There is no difference. We all get saved the same way. For by grace are you saved through faith. No one through works will make it to heaven. No one in any other way of salvation will make it to heaven. All must come. And by the way, someone put it this way. The ground around the cross is level, regardless of what color you are, regardless of male or female, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Everyone has to come to Christ the same way, by grace, through faith. Not only that, every believer is eternally saved. No one is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. You have the promise of eternal life. Third, every believer is instilled with all things needed to grow as a Christian. Now, having said that, look back in your Bibles just a moment in verse 3 and 4, and let me just say this in passing. There's a lot of people that tries to grow, and they, you know, I know some of these boys, they used to say, I'm never going to grow up. I said, give it time, you'll grow. Well, and guess what? Now they've grown and grown, and they're still growing. It amazes me. But anywhere there's life, there ought to be growth. And so therefore, where there's spiritual life, there ought to be spiritual growth. Once you've been born again, then you ought to go on and grow. Now, we have supplements that are good for us. There are certain things that are called growth supplements, and some of those things are good. Now, some of these athletes, they try to take these growth enhancement hormones and supplements, and some of them's not so good. Some of them destroys them because they're trying to take a shortcut to gaining muscle and gaining certain things. But there are certain supplements that are good for your health, vitamins and things like that, a good diet. Now, the word supplement means that it's something that completes or enhances something else when added to it. And so what we want you to understand is this. Now, listen to me just a moment. You can't grow as a Christian without these supplements. God here in Peter gives us some supplements that are good. Now, sometimes we let our kids eat a bunch of junk food, comes time to eat good food, and they're not hungry. because we feed them with junk food. Now stay with me, young people especially. It's imperative that you grow spiritually if you're saved. If you're not saved, it's imperative that you get saved. It'd be terrible for you to sit in church all your life and die and go to hell. That would be a terrible thing. And you know, it would be terrible to be saved and sit here all your life and listen to preaching and teaching and yet have nothing to show for your Christian life when you stand before God. What a shame that would be. And without these supplements that Peter deals with, he tells us that they will do certain things for us. Let's look back in your Bibles just a moment and notice this. Because of the power of God and promises of God, we're able to have the divine nature within us and we're able to escape the corruption of the world. But notice in verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence. In other words, these supplements that he gives us to add to our faith that will strengthen us and will enhance our faith and make us stronger and spiritually allow us to have better growth. He says, it just doesn't happen. You're not going to be sitting there and all of a sudden these supplements are just going to fall in your lap and benefit you and you're going to grow strong in the Lord. It doesn't happen that way. You have to put your diligence, in other words, you have to work to make it happen in your life. Okay? Now stay with me a minute. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, you can't, if you're not saved, these supplements is not going to do you any good. You can try these supplements and you still die and go to hell because these supplements are not going to do you good. And so therefore, what you need to understand is that these supplements are given to those who are saved that you will be able to have spiritual growth. And God expects every one of us to grow spiritually and not, as we dealt with a study a while back, of being babes in Christ all your life. Wouldn't it be a shame? And by the way, I buried a lot of old men and old women, and if they were saved, they were babes in Christ. They never came out of that infant childhood, and it's a shame because they had been on the church roll, some of them 40, 50, and 60 years, and yet they had nothing to show for it whatsoever. Wouldn't that be a shame to do that? As a matter of fact, I've had to stand above bodies and preach funerals and people who had their names on a church roll, and in my heart of hearts, I didn't know whether they were saved or not. I had no confidence in nothing that they'd done. But I'm not their judge, and I'll be first one to admit, I'm not their judge. But let's look just a few moments and notice what he says. What are the supplements that you must have if you're going to grow? You add to your faith virtue. Now, what is virtue, by the way? And before I get into this, before I deal with these seven things, let me take you two verses real quickly. Sorry about that. My mic's off. Is it on now? Okay. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Keep your finger there in Peter. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, if you're saved, now listen to me. Young people, all you guys, listen to me a minute. Girls, listen to me just a moment. If you are saved, you will be the one that will oppose yourself from growing by not taking and not being a part and allowing these supplements to be part of your life. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy just a moment. Notice, if you would, in verse number
or chapter number 2 in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. If God prevent you, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And what I want you to understand is this. When you're not growing strong as a Christian, the devil will come and prey upon you. If you don't gain strength, and listen, there's a time when you're underneath your parents' direction and oversight, but then some of you all have just graduated. Now you're going on out into the world and you're going to have to make some decisions yourself. You're going to be out there and you're going to be faced with certain things, and you're going to have to decide who you are, what you are, what you're going to be. And so therefore, sometimes what you do is you oppose yourself because you don't eat right. You don't do the things that strengthens you and gives you the strength to endure the things that you're going to have to face. And by the way, you are going to face them out there. And if you don't have the strength to stand up to them, you will be defeated. Okay? Stay with me a minute. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Look one more place real quickly if you would. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. The Bible says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, what you have to do is, folks, you have to learn to have a good diet spiritually if you're going to grow. Now let's look at these, see what these supplements that God tells us we need to add to our Christian life. The fact that we are saved. Let's look back, if you would, in Peter and notice what he says that we need to add. Look back, if you would, in verse number 5. Add to your faith what? Virtue. Virtue means moral uprightness. You have to make decisions of what you're going to do. There's going to be times when you're going to be out there away from everybody else. You have to decide who you are. What you are. Look on. Not only that, but knowledge. Now, knowledge is understanding of the truth and how to live by the truth of the Word of God. Someone said, get into the Word and let the Word get into you. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get out there and you don't have the Bible and you don't have the church all around you and you're faced with certain things, you better have the Word in you. You better know a little bit about the Word. You need to have the knowledge. You need to know certain things. You need to have grown. Study the Word of God that you can rightly divide the Word of truth, because you're going to need that. That is a supplement that we are to add to our salvation. You say, well, what if I don't? Then you'll be weak. Tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, everything that comes along. People will drag you around. You won't be able to stand. And let me tell you something else, young people. Now listen to me. You guys are graduating right now, and girls, you're at the age right now where within a few years you'll be choosing a mate. And if you're not careful, you're at the vulnerable age. If you don't take these supplements and strengthen yourself for that decision, you'll make the worst decisions of your life. And they'll come back to haunt you and bite you for a long, long, long time. Knows it. Again, and by the way, when you come together and have babies, they don't go away. They stick around for a lifetime. And so we need to be wise. Be smart. Look on. He says not only knowledge, but in verse 6, to knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-control. You need to learn how to control your tongue. Somebody say, well, control your tongue. Learn to have some control of your tongue. Learn to have a control of your temper. Don't just fly off. I'm going to tell you something. If you fly off all the time, it'll get you in trouble. Learn to control your temper and learn to control your temptations. With every temptation, he will make a way of escape. But again, you have to have temperance. Know that? Then you have to add to temperance your patience. Patience is endurance. You have to be in it for a long haul. In other words, you have to be able to see the benefits of living for the Lord. And by the way, there are benefits and great benefits not only in this world, but the world to come. Peter wanted to know, asked the Lord, said, what do we receive? We've left all and followed you. He said, not only in life, but he said, even in this life, you should have 100-fold family. You know, Peter said, well, we left family. Listen, through Christ, I have more family than I've ever had. Yes. And so therefore, what we need to understand, and how many times have you needed something, you didn't know where it was going to come from, and the Lord provided it. You know why? You just can't be on a better side. Amen? Look here. But you got to endure. Does it mean you're going to be, Amanda sung that song, it hasn't been a bed of roses. Oh, you'll have some, those low times keeps us humble. It brings us where we need to be at times. And there are certain things that goes through that's trials of our faith. But look on. And with patience and godliness. Godliness is learning to yield to God. Listen. When you get out of the house, you ought to have enough in you that you don't have to have somebody come visit you and invite you to come to church. You ought to have something within you that makes you want to come. And listen. If those people, boyfriends and girlfriends are not saved as you go and you begin to deal with that matter in your life, and they don't want to come to church, let them go. Yes. And godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness means brotherly love. As John talked about, we preached the other day, into brotherly kindness, charity. We preached on charity. That's the Christian love that we have. Now notice this, I want you to get this, and I want you to see this moment. Notice here in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, you with me? If these things be with you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be what? Barren nor what? Unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Bible says in John chapter 15 that the Father is glorified by our fruit. Let me ask you this. How many of you have been saved, over 10 years? How many have been saved over 20 years? I won't go any further than that, but I can go further. But let me ask you this. Don't raise your hand, but I just want to ask you this. If you were to die and go and meet the Lord right now, how many people have you tried to win to the Lord? Oh, that's good. How many of you could stand up right now and say, those of you that are 20 years and older, without holding your hand up, could you start naming names of people that you've told about the Lord? You say, preacher, I don't have the courage. These supplements will make you strong enough to have that courage. But you got to take your supplements. It's not enough just to be saved and say, well, I'm saved, so I'm going to do the work, whatever God wants me to do. No, you've got to add supplements onto your salvation. Not to get to heaven, but to serve God in a Christian life. And you notice what he said? If these things be in you and abound, you take a good supply of them, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. You will have something to show. Wouldn't it be a shame to stand before God? How many years you've been saved? Over 50. Would it not be a shame to stand before God, being saved over 50 years, and God says, how many stars is in your crown? How many people have you won to the Lord? How many people have you tried to share the gospel with? And wouldn't it be a shame to stand and say, and your works be burned, wood, hay, and stubble. Notice all in verse number 9. Not only does it make you barren and unfruitful if you don't take supplements and cause you to fail as a Christian, look if you would in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind. That's not, it doesn't mean that you're lost, as a lost person is spiritually blind. It means that you're blind and cannot see what? Afar off. Turning your Bibles real quickly, keep your finger there, and look with me if you would in Hebrews chapter 11, real quickly. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, notice if you would in verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen what? You see, someone who is strong in the Lord, grows in the Lord, has faith to let God use their life and accomplish something in the Lord, they look afar off. They don't look at the moment. They don't look at just this immediate time. Somebody said, well, preacher, if I do this, they'll make fun of me. So what? What is the long-term effect of it? I'm glad someone cared enough about my soul to tell me about the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad somebody cared enough about me to pray for me. I'm glad somebody didn't give up for me when I was running out there, running and fighting these things and opposing myself and not realizing what was good for me. I'm glad people love me enough to stick with it. And this is what happens. What happens is when you don't take your supplements, you're not strong in the Lord, you don't see afar off, all you see is at the moment, and therefore you make silly, ridiculous decisions because you don't see the benefits afar off. And you don't realize one day there'll be a great payday by doing what you're doing and making the stand that you're making stand and living the life that you're living. Therefore, we need to understand that you're short-sighted when you don't take your supplements. No, that, look on. In verse 9, and hath forgotten that he was what? Look back in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. And hath forgotten that he was what? Purged from what? You know, it's a terrible thing to be saved and not be sure. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're not sure if you're saved, you won't get nothing accomplished for God. And every time something comes up, you will be scared. You'll be afraid. And God's not giving you the spirit of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. What happens is you say, well, why do I doubt my salvation? You're not taking your supplements. You're not growing strong. There's nothing greater than to be saved and know that you're saved. Amen? And there's a lot of people that doubts their salvation, and they say, preacher, I have them talking to me all the time. And some of them comes up and says, I've been saved for 35 years. I'm still doubting my salvation. What's wrong? You're not taking your supplements if you've truly been born again. Supplements will add to you strength, and if you don't take your supplements, guess what? You'll forget that you was purged from your sins. You'll doubt your salvation. You'll really question whether you were saved. You know why? Because what you'll do is you will begin to weigh it out on feelings. Because your faith is lacking. You're weak in your faith. And what we have to do is we have to have faith in the Word of God. You know what makes me so confident in my salvation? Jesus. When I look at me, I get shook. When I look at Him, I have perfect peace because I'm not saved because of me. I'm saved because of Him. And so therefore, when the old devil comes knocking, I'm able to take him into the Word of God, and I'm able to convey to him what the Word of God says about my salvation, and I'm able to take him back to the time and place when I fell upon my face, called upon God to save my soul, and therefore I am confident of where I'm headed. Amen? But I tell you what give me the confidence. My supplements. They enhance my faith. And therefore it makes my faith stronger. And I don't stay a babe in Christ. I grow. One more thing. Stay with me. Look on. In verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never what?
Fall.
Whoa. It doesn't mean fall from grace. It means fall as a Christian. It doesn't mean that you won't stumble and get back up and those type of things. It means that you'll not fall out here and be a castaway. Be a Demas. Be an Ananias, Sapphira, someone who started out good but didn't finish very good. And so therefore, who wants to be a failure? Everyone wants to be a winner. Everyone wants to be victorious. And it's our faith that allows us to be victorious. Look in verse 11 and I'm closing. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 John, verse number 8 says, look to yourself that you lose not that which you have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Folks, supplements, if we would take these supplements, we will be proud to go into the kingdom of God and be able to stand before our Lord. Because these supplements will give us what we need. Where we don't, listen, our faith overcomes the world. In other words, we're saved and we're pulled out of hellfire. We're going to heaven. But these supplements added to our faith enables us to live a Christian life victoriously. It's a difference between, like Israel's example, running round and round in the wilderness, always unhappy, complaining, griping, always got something going on, or being over in the land of Canaan, letting God win victories for you. You either live the Canaan life through supplements, or you get sand kicked in your face by the devil all the time, by just try and live on your faith alone and not adding supplements to your diet and to your Christian life. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're not saved and God is dealing your heart to come. Before you start adding anything to your faith, you've got to have faith and you need to come tonight and receive that. You feel the Spirit of God drawing you to come. Would you come? Maybe you're here and you are saved and you've gotten away from God. You've lost that fellowship. You've lost the joy of the Lord. And maybe you need to come and restore that fellowship with God. However God may be dealing with you, Brother Eric, as you get a song, as we stand, would you stand tonight? Let him have his way with your heart. How about tonight?